Precious Lord, we are so thankful to come to this time in our season of just being able to sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Father, we recognize that Christmas was for the purpose of bringing you to the world, Lord, as a little babe born who would die for our sins, Lord, because we don't deserve to be in heaven, Lord, because of our sin. You're a holy God, and yet you provided Christ to come as a child. And I know that even in my own life and the busyness, sometimes we get busy and lose sight of that purpose. Father, may we all glorify you, and even in our study that we've been studying and be not afraid, Lord, and the anxiety and just how you do provide for us, Father. We are so thankful that in your word you have given us truths to remember, to recall. We've given us examples of those who've gone before us. You've given your spirit to us, Lord, who can teach us all things and bring to remembrance the things we need to recall. Father, use this time now to just unite our hearts together to worship and fear you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ladies. Well, if you're like me, you like to go and find your to-do list and check off when you get done, right? And if you're like me also, you probably tend to move too quickly from getting that to-do list done and throwing that list away and not looking back sort of at the process. And I was just thinking about our study, how important it is to look back to what we have learned. And we're going to do a little bit of that today. Last week, there was a question about the highlight of each lesson that was your favorite. So I really want to take a few minutes when we're done the opening here and go back over that. So we've studied a pretty serious topic of fear and anxiety, and that should have a great impact and challenge to us. It should challenge our thoughts, our attitudes, and our behavior. It's not something that we just come and have head knowledge and leave here filled with more head knowledge. We want to walk away and be changed. We want to have impact on this. And I don't think there's any one of us who are here who can say we don't struggle with some sort of anxiety and some sort of fear. We all do. But we studied the many scriptures over these last eight lessons that show God's divine provision for our anxiety and for that fear. And just think about that. Do not afraid appears over 100 times. That's just so comforting. Do not be afraid. Over and over, scripture says that knowing what God reveals about himself should give us confidence to trust him. What we've been learning should encourage us to go to scripture and to God's revealed truth when those times come, because we all face them. It's not if they come, it's when they come. And we want them to sink deep into our hearts and really become habits. I mean, that's what part of this study is becoming the habit of going to the Lord in prayer, going to the Lord with our anxiety. And let those habits become something we can keep building upon. Our testimony and our witness before a lost world that tries to control what they cannot control is surely should show that peace comes from trusting and believing and obeying God. And we think about that this time of the year when everyone's wishing each other peace on earth, that peace will not come without the true peace. And God is the only true peace, and he grants peace to those who are his. Peace is a gift. There is no greater gift for anxiety than God's peace. Think about that, ladies. It's a gift, and there's no greater gift for anxiety than God's peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What a comfort that is. I love that whole section of John 14. And if you ever have that fear, go back to that section in John. Well, but when we allow the flesh to rule us, we open ourselves up to all kinds of anxieties and disrupt that peace of God. However, when we walk by the Spirit, as Galatians 5:22-23 says, we can display the fruit of peace, especially to the lost, ladies. In the first lesson, I had referenced a quote by Ed Welch, and I want to reiterate that again. Being afraid is not wrong in itself. As creatures living in a sinful world, we should be afraid at times. The problem is when fear forgets God. Well, it's in those times of unexpected trials and tests when our theology about God is tested, isn't it? Think about that. And we must have our firm beliefs and convictions already established so that we don't give into fear and anxiety. And we must let our fear point us to the knowledge of God. That's what we are to do with our fears. Go back to what do we know about God? And that's really what this whole book has been over and over teaching us. It's the knowledge and revelation of who God is that keeps our perspective dependent on Him rather than our fearful circumstance. Scripture commands us not to be anxious. As we realign our thinking to what God says in His Word and why, we will be different people. Think about that even just as we studied Gideon this week. We realign our thinking to what God says, and then we are different people. It's not just God coming to our thinking. We must line ourselves up with God's thinking. It's not just a putting off of old habits of sinful worry. We can try to do that, and that could be easily done sometimes, but most likely that's going to be a lot more difficult unless we put on habits of righteous living that demonstrate our faith in a sovereign God who even orchestrates every detail of our life. And that's really what every lesson has been showing us. It's showing us that God is a sovereign God. He orchestrates these details, these fears. But He gives us His peace. He gives us His Spirit. God made it very clear to Israel in Leviticus 26 that peace comes from obeying His word. That same message and truth applies to us today. And peace is restored when we obey God. I love that. Peace is restored when we obey God. Because sometimes we just go through that struggle and we've lost that peace. But go back to the Word. Go back to being obedient. The sin of doubt and fear and anxiety may only be signs even of an underlying sins too. So we think about that. Perhaps we don't really believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. Perhaps we have doubts, we have anger, perhaps we're bitter that God has allowed things to happen to us in our lives that we do not want. And that's what's driving us to become anxious. We have to go back and accept whatever God brings into our lives, whether it's difficult or stressful, we still need to accept God's design for our lives. Psalm 94, 18 and 19 says, "If I should say my foot has stumbled, your loving kindness, O Yahweh, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me," I love that word, when they multiply, don't they? When one anxious thought starts leading to the next, and pretty soon you're like, well, what if, or I should have, or maybe that's going to, and we pretty soon we're in this rut of anxiety. But it says, "Your consolations delight my soul." Let me read that one more time. If I should say, my foot has stumbled, your loving kindness, O Yahweh, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. Ladies, we can remain calm when the world around us is crumbling and morally deteriorating at a faster speed than we ever imagined. I mean, just reading the news on your phone or whatever's going on around us, we never imagined it would be deteriorating this fast. And yet we can trust God's peace when we're overcome. And even in our own difficult situations, there is nothing to fear or be anxious about when we have that undisturbed comfort of rest. And I love that the definition of peace in that particular verse is just rest and tranquility and wholeness. Think about that wholeness. When we're at peace with God, we are whole. Psalm 91 also, which you were to read in our book, reminds us of God's ongoing sovereign protection. And I love the verse, when we dwell in His shelter, we will abide in His shadow. We will find Him to be our refuge and fortress and God in whom we can trust. That's just a beautiful psalm. And I don't have time to read the entire psalm right now, but I encourage you, if you haven't done that already, I know that's in our discussion time, but just that Psalm 91 is such a comfort, which I'm excited because we're going to be studying the psalms. And that's one of the first psalms that we're going to go right to. In this week's lessons, we looked at Judges, and if you're familiar with the story, which we all know the book of Judges is where everyone did right in his own eyes. Isn't that crazy? I mean, I feel like we're kind of there today. Gee, that sounds familiar. Judges 2:10 says, "And all that generation were gathered to their fathers, and there rose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that He had done for Israel." That makes you so sad. When you think about that generation that had gone through the wilderness, seen the miracles, seen what God had performed, and yet soon after, you know, the next generation or so just did not even know Not long after going into the promised land, the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord's, and they served the Baals, which is crazy because they tore those down and God showed his power. Yet verse 12 in chapter 2 says, they abandoned the Lord, the God their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the people who were around them, and they bowed down to them. They provoked the Lord to anger. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. And later in Judges 2, it tells us that the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they whored after other gods and bowed down to them. They soon turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked, who had obeyed the commandments of the Lord, and they did not do so. Well, think about that. Perhaps it was the failure of the parents to pass along the generation to the next generation those rich teachings of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 6, the great Shema, which is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. You should teach these diligently. That was their Shema. That was what they were to recite. Well, what happened? You know, why did they not either not teach it or forget it, or just maybe it was just callous. It was just words. Psalm 78 is also written with the intention to teach the next generation of children how gracious God had been in spite their ancestors' rebellion and ingratitude. I love that psalm. Teach it to the next generation. That's a command, a wonderful command for all of us, ladies, even as grandparents or aunts or whatever we are in our position, that we have someone of influence to pass that on to, as well as parents. Psalm 78 was to help keep them from being like their fathers who forgot the works of their God. And somehow God's words got left out of everyday life and not passed on to the next generation. Information can be known as head knowledge. We know that, ladies. We can get a lot of head knowledge. But it must be acknowledged and considered in the heart. And Proverbs 3:6 says, In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Their knowledge, however, was more than ignorance, and we know that because we saw the results within a few generations. Rather, they rejected in unbelief the Lord's grace towards them and their responsibilities to obey them, to obey him. So when we meet Gideon in chapter 6 of Judges, he encounters an angel who calls him a mighty man, which most obviously would be his future potential. At that point, he probably wasn't feeling mighty hiding in the wine press to thresh grain. But we know that the Lord saw his future potential through God's enablement, through God's divine enablement. So it wasn't on Gideon's strength, it was God through him. Gideon's response kind of overlooked that personal call from the angel, but he responded in view of his people's oppression by answering with us, with God is with us. Why isn't he here? Kind of an answer. Well, he acknowledged that it was the Lord who also caused their distress and put them into the hand of the Midianites. He recognized God's sovereignty, that nothing was out of God's control. And his commission by the angel to go and save his people was accompanied by the assurance that God would be with him and would give the strength he needed. Even his encounter with the angel would have caused great fear to him as he realized that he was in the presence of the angel of the Lord. I don't think he knew that at first. The first initial was he was realizing he was encountering an angel, but to think about he was in the presence of the Lord, that definitely humbled him. Well, it's the Lord did give Gideon victory over the Midianites in his battle, and the land enjoyed peace for 40 years. So we see this cycle in Judges, and actually Gideon is the last judge that was official judges of the book of Judges. Gideon obeyed the call to do God's work by trusting in the same God who said to Moses that God would be with him. Think about that back in Exodus when Moses saw the burning bush. That same phrase, God would be with him. He would be Moses' mouth and he would teach him what to speak. And God told Joshua, which we're all familiar with, the words in Joshua, be strong and courageous, Deuteronomy 31:6. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. We hear that repeated in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a wonderful theme that we need to remember in our lives when we face fear. Okay, the Lord is with us. We need not be afraid. Scripture is full of those who remembered in times of fear that the Lord, it is the Lord that goes with them, and he would not leave them or forsake them. I look forward to meeting those saints in heaven someday to talk about their stories and their bravery and courage. I mean, our courage is nothing compared to some of these that have faced. Look at Hebrews 11. I love that chapter. So what is our calling, ladies? What is our calling in our life? And I know our chapter kind of touched upon one of those questions, but you know, maybe it's just to be a faithful helper to your husband who may not even be saved. Maybe it's to raise your children in the ways of the Lord, training and disciplining them for the next generation to follow the Lord. Maybe it's to boldly share the gospel with an unsaved neighbor or family member. Or perhaps you're afraid to step out in a new ministry. Maybe that's what the Lord is calling you to do. Will we trust that God will be with us and he's a faithful, promise-keeping God that gives us grace to fear and face anxiety, grace to face fear and anxieties, or in our human weaknesses? Think about that. Do we think, okay, Lord, I have that grace for the day that you give me to face that fear? So as we come to the conclusion of this lesson in these past eight lessons for God's provision, I think it'd be good to review some of the lessons we studied and how they impacted us. We're going to just kind of do a quick highlight of each lesson because I don't want to take too long here. But the big question to walk away with is, what have we learned from this study on fear? And have we grown in our walk with the Lord? Are we changed because of it? What are we going to do differently, right? And I even thought of some questions. What lessons have we learned about our own fears? Do we let those fears take over our minds? Or what lessons have we learned? How can we keep our focus on faith rather than on fear? Is it possible just to simply stop being afraid? That's a good question. How has our confidence grown by knowing the names and descriptions of God? And why should that knowledge of God's names and character impact our anxieties? So when we read stories in the Bible, do we see ourselves able to put our trust and worship God as those who stood firm like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If not, what are we doing now to grow our faith? What kind of testimony are we showing to others of unwavering faith? And of course, where has God called us to do his kingdom work? And are we obedient? That's a good question. Okay, so let's do a little jet tour back, and we won't spend too much time, but if there's something that jogs your memory on this, I want to just go back over and help remind us. And what are we to do? Remind over and over. So we talked in lesson one that fear is a daily topic. We learned what God reveals about himself. He is the Lord of hosts, Yahweh, Jehovah, a covenant-keeping sovereign God over creation. We talked about that as God of hosts. And we obviously talked about some of the names of God. I am your shield. Think about those words as I read these. I am with you. I have heard you. I am God. I am able to deliver. I will help you. My peace I give to you. And of course, additional ones. I am the Lord. I am your Redeemer. I am the God of Abraham. I am your rock. I am your Maker. I am the Holy One of Israel, and I am the Lord of hosts. That's a very strong confidence we have in God's names about himself and his character. Lesson two was more focused on the reasons we have not to fear, what we know about God. Well, we know he's our Father. We know he sees. He sees that when we pray, he sees our deeds. He knows. We know that our Father feeds. He feeds us. He feeds the birds. Remember, we talked about the birds. And we close the grass, like the flowers and the grass. He closed them. He's going to give us clothing as we need it and food. He gives. He gives rewards for those who follow him. He knows. He knows all things before we ask. He knows what our needs are. He hears. He hears our prayers. Sometimes we feel like he doesn't hear us, but he's there. He hears us. He forgives. Ladies, he forgives. Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. We carry on these things in our minds, but Father forgives. He provides. He has a kingdom forever. I love that. He has power forever. He has glory forever. And he has given clear teaching and pictures to instruct us and to reassure us. Think about the teachings we see in everyday nature of life. We've got the birds we can watch. We've got nature. We've got all these wonderful things that he cares for. Do we think he's not going to care for us if we lose sight of that? And then he can be trusted. In all our days of trouble, he will give us peace. And he'll give us grace for that day. I love that. We studied that in Matthew 6. But our focus needs to be kingdom first. We need to focus on the kingdom. We need to consider and seek and look. Remember, we talked about those words. We did a little word study on consider. What does that mean? To ponder and to think. And it's not. It's more of just trusting God. And then we are not to be divided in our focus. We talked about serving God and serving man and man, mammon, money. Our focus is divided. So we're not to be worried. Worry is choke. Remember, we talked about the anxiety and choking out the fears or choking out our thoughts. What about our focus is not also is to not be on tomorrow? We don't need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own, as Matthew 6 talks about. We can plan and prepare, but we're not to worry. Grace will be given for that day. That was a great lesson on lesson 2. Lesson 3 is a test of worship. It had to do with our heart, testing our heart. And living in the daily provision of God is to keep God in our thoughts, ladies. They couldn't gather the manna just without thinking about God because they were daily dependent. And I love that lesson because it really showed us from the earliest moments of the day, they were to go out and gather the manna before the sun melted it. They had to be mindful of God's deliverance, that he was their daily provision. They had to work also to gather. And for us, ladies, we need to live by God's word. We need to read, to meditate, to study. It doesn't just come by osmosis. We have to put some work into that. We need to be looking into our Bibles, working to put what we have learned to practice. And we also need, in living in the daily provision of God, kept humility. So we're the ones recognizing we're not in control, just as they did. It also means being expectant and trusting that there will be provisions for each day. They expected God to fulfill his promise. They also trusted that he would be, the daily food would be there, but also that it would be enough. Remember, on the sixth day, they were to gather no more, or to gather extra for the seventh day, because if they tried to go out on the seventh day, there wouldn't be any. And also living in daily provision of God meant they're dependent on him. So not living in the daily provision of God means we forget God. And they did the same thing. They forgot God. They didn't keep his commandments at times. And their heart was lifted up. When we forget God's words, our heart becomes proud. And we say things like, my power and my strength. And we give credit to ourselves rather than to God. And also not living in daily provisions meant they would walk after other gods. And that's a good question to think about in our minds. We don't go walk into another church and worship in another church necessarily, but we have idols. We have idols in our own heart. They had idols, statues, and things they would follow after other gods. But our gods, our idols are things like trying to please man or trying to look at our performances or our possessions or our positions and think those are our idols. But we need to stop and think of what our true allegiance and worship to God is. Matthew 4 gave us a wonderful verse in that lesson. It's Christ's example to us was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's regarding the testing that he was tested in the wilderness by Satan. But what did he answer? He said, it is written. So ladies, we must have God's word in our own heart. So testing the heart is truly a test of worship. Lesson 4 taught us about faith and its actions that impact a fearful heart. And I'm going to list some of these wonderful positive actions that we can do to have faith when we are fearful. We have to think and meditate on the Word of God. Thinking about who he is. Think about his perfections, his abilities, his past works, his faithfulness. We need to also desire and seek the Lord. To know him better, to live conscious of his presence, to walk with him. How about focusing on the things of God? That's another thing we can do that impacts a fearful heart. When we focus on God, that's going to help us. We can also expect God to be at work, to care for us, and to bring us through trials and troubles. That's something we can expect. He says so in his word. He's done in the past, and he can do it in the future. We also can cry out to the Lord. We can ask God, help us and teach us and help us see the things we need to learn to depend on. And one of the things I love is remembering and recalling. Those are the things we need to do when we're having fearful heart. Remember, recall, how has the Lord been our help? What is the work that he has done? How has he always helped his people? And that's what the Bible's full of stories. The scripture, especially the Old Testament, is wonderful. And of course, believing that God will be faithful. That's another one. Actions that impact a fearful heart. We can believe that God will be faithful, that he is and will be at work. And the last one is waiting upon the Lord. We talked in that lesson about waiting on the Lord. We wait with faith, we wait with hope, and we wait with expectancy. It may not be our answer that we want, right? We sometimes have to get a different answer to line our thoughts with his, but we can wait. And I think one of the things we learned from David was he placed his confidence in God. We talked in the Psalms, the two different Psalms. He focused and meditated on that to behold his God. He offered sacrifices. He remembered God's past acts of faithfulness. And he called others to wait expectantly for the Lord. That was some good reminders in that lesson. Lesson five was the fear of the Lord, how he puts it in us and he gives us the new heart. Without God's work, ladies, in our heart, we would have no hope for lasting peace. Think about that. We would have no hope for that peace. So what is the fear of the Lord? How does it impact us? What is our responses to that fear? Well, it gives us joy, doesn't it? When we have the fear of the Lord, we have joy. We can worship. We have trust. We have reverence. And we have awe. Those are all the results of fear of the Lord. We have joy, worship, trust, reverence, awe. And those who don't have the fear of the Lord have dread and trembling. We talked about that in that lesson. They're going to dread the day of judgment. There should be trembling. And it grows by remembering the acts of the Lord and hearing of God's word. We need to be in church. We need to be in Bible study. We need to be meditating on God's word. We need to love the knowledge of God's word and choose it and learn it. Think sometimes we choose other things in our day and kind of, oh, by the way, I need to spend some time in God's word. And that should be our priority. We also need to praise God, thank and praise him. That's something that we must make time for, to stop and praise and pray. Ask the Lord to teach us how to do that and how to unite our hearts to fear his name. Lesson six talks about why we think on things above. Well, we talked about in Colossians 3. We also talked in Philippians 4. It's commanded. It's our position because we're raised with Christ. It's our future that one day we will all be with him in glory. It's also an impact on our fear because we think of things, we get less fearful. We get our minds off of ourselves and our situation. It's also a desire and promise of peace when we think about that. And why think about things? Because the Lord is near. We think about those things because he's at hand. He's present with us. It gives us spiritual blessing. And God desires to show us and to see, for us to see those exceeding riches of his grace. Think of Ephesians. Go back and read. I didn't have time to share Ephesians 1 and 2, but the rich blessings we have and why we think about those things. And it's in Christ that we've been brought near. He is our peace, as I've said earlier. It's also a habit why we need to think on these things. It's a habit that we need to do as we live according to the Spirit. Because the mindset on spiritual things brings life and peace, Romans tells us. And then lastly, God's presence with us, as we learned in this week's lesson. We talked about, this is the last week's lesson, lesson seven. Lesson seven talked about the eternal God, the Holy One. He desires to dwell with his people. We talked in our lesson about how he reveals himself in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, the cloud of glory, the Exodus. We talked all about the different ways he revealed. He revealed himself by manna, by water. He provided in the wilderness. He even disciplined them when they sinned. That's another way God provided. And he gave the Holy Spirit to us in our lives, as well as the name Jesus, God with us. That's a reflection of God being with us. And our impact on fear, that should give us peace and joy, ladies, because of that. And lastly, this week we talked about fear, and we talked about how reducing truths we can live by. And I'm going to close with this last list here. The Lord is with us. We've been given a divine job to do every day. Therefore, we need to be about the Lord's business. We are servants of the Lord, just as God called Gideon and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We are servants of his business. It's a kingdom purpose. That should be our primary concern. The promise of God is that God's presence is sufficient. So peace comes, ladies, when we're doing his business and not focused on ourselves, trying to keep the little things we have safe. Peace comes when we are doing what God wants us to do, and we know that God hears, that he acts too. And God uses us in our weakness. He used Gideon when he felt very weak, and he called him a mighty man. There's always, always grace for each day, ladies, too. When we think about that, we have to remember God's grace is sufficient. And our God is the God of Most High. I would love to just close in a couple scriptures here. Ephesians 6. I want to encourage you to go to Ephesians 6 if you feel weak and you realize that you can't do these things God's called you to do. Look what he has provided in Ephesians 6 in the armor of God. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done it, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times to the Spirit, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplications. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that my words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains." That's from Paul, Ephesians 6. And then Romans, of course, Romans 8, which is a wonderful reminder as well. Romans 8 and verse 31 starts with, "What then shall we say for these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also be with him graciously giving us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand, who is indeed interceding for you, for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sore, or worry, or anxiety?" That list could go on and on. "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I hope that encourages you. And as you go to your groups today, I hope this lesson has, this book has really encouraged you. And again, ladies, let's not just walk away from a study and put it on the shelf. Let's meditate and think about it and call these scriptures to mind. Maybe it's a challenge to memorize more verses. Maybe it's a challenge to be more an attitude of prayer. And when anxiety comes, it's not if, but when these circumstances come, to turn them to the Lord. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll go to our groups. Lord, we are so thankful for your Spirit, for your power that helps us in weakness. We are not here to do things on our own power, Lord. We would fail. We are sinful, and we need humility by knowing that it is you who died for us. Father, thank you for that grace, that gift of grace, Lord, that gift of faith that you caused us to see your word and to see our hearts, the evil sin that we have. And Lord, we know that it is because of you we are not separated from any of those dangers, Lord, because you have provided for us. You have protected us. You have paid the price. And nothing can harm us, Lord. And we thank you for this day. We pray that these ladies would enjoy the holiday season and just meditate on all these truths that we have learned. And pray in your name. Amen.